Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
Treasures of this world can satisfy me. My heart is yours and yours alone. Your presence is my life forever. All I ever need, I am in you. Jesus, all I ever need, I am in you. Treasures of this world can satisfy me. My heart is yours and yours alone. Your presence is my life forever. Lord, all I ever need, I am in you. All I ever need, I am in you. Oh, your presence is enough for me. Oh, your presence is enough for me. Nothing else will do, no one else will do. You are enough for me. Nothing else will do, no one else will do. You are enough for me.
This one, come on.
Treasures of this world can satisfy me.
My heart is yours.
My heart is yours and yours alone. Your presence is my life forever. All I ever need, in you, yes, Lord. Jesus, all I ever need, I ever need you.
Morning and top of the morning once again to all our listeners. Yes, another lovely Sunday morning, the day that the Lord has made. We rejoice in it and indeed we are glad. Yes, you're tuned into Radio Africana and this is Morning Dew. I'm Pastor Wale Adesinoye. It is a pleasure as always to be with you. Right, lovely track there by Sinach. you know, only you, no one else will do, you know, the wonderful things that happen in the presence of the Lord, you know, and his presence really is enough for us. When we understand, you know, what happens in his presence, what can take place in his presence, what benefits we, you know, stand to gain by being in his presence, the transformation and change is just incredible. It's beyond human understanding. It says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly, far beyond all we can ever ask, think of, or imagine, according to the power that is already at work in us. So Father, we thank you once again for another day. Thank you for what only you can do, you started to do, and we are confident you will yet do. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Lord, we want to come in our session today unto you. Ask, Lord, that you will be present with us, by your Spirit will be in abundance to help us to, you know, as we navigate, as we glean through the scriptures, bring us to a place of understanding, having us, giving us eyes that can see and ears that can hear, and God's to be able to understand and comprehend what it is you're communicating to us, whichever manner, pattern, form, method you use to communicate to us. Let us be sensitive. We ask this of you and we thank you. We ask that your Spirit will just be, you know, present mightily to just help us to, you know, take us through as we navigate. Lord, want to remember our listeners who have tuned in. Lord, be with them. Cause it to be something that will be beneficial to them, our session and our time. Lord, I pray that an anointing and unction will rest upon them to function in every sphere of their lives, to excel, to do well, to, you know, be a light that shines even brighter, and men and women truly will be attracted to the brightness of their shining. This we ask of you and much more in Jesus' precious name. Right, good morning, lovely people, and welcome to another edition of Morning to You. Okay, so we've been on our series, Power and Authority in the Name of Jesus. We had a big introduction through an understanding of covenants. We looked at definitions, biblical definitions, dictionary definitions, understanding terminologies, understanding the terms, the signs, you know, the participants, the conditionalities, just to bring us to a place of really understanding the covenant relationship we have with Jesus. And so in our series, Power and Authority in the Name of Jesus, today we want to give some, you know, kind of introduction and get into some definitions so that we can be on our merry way concerning authority, power in the name of Jesus Christ. This is central to the Christian faith, emphasizing the legal legitimacy granted to believers through their relationship in Jesus Christ. So power and authority is central to our relationship with Jesus Christ. This authority is rooted in our firm belief and faith that Jesus possesses the ultimate authority over all creation and imparts, please note the word imparts, this authority to his followers. So he possesses the ultimate authority, and he imparts this authority to his followers for the purpose of advancing the kingdom. Okay, and so in the course of our series, we'll be looking at a few things we need to be aware of. At this point, I want to just take a little pause here. Let's look at some definitions. I have a basic, well, a couple of definitions here, and very interesting how they come across. Concerning, we want to start looking at definition of power. So power is defined as the ability or capacity to do something or act in a particular way. The ability or capacity to do something or act in a particular way. Examples of the use of the word power: the power of speech, for example, I will do everything in my power, okay, to help you. So that's a statement using power, and they're saying that basically they will use everything in their ability and capacity to help this individual. Okay, you might be referring to power of a gift, a power of an ability that somebody has. In other words, the power of his concentration is phenomenal. Okay, so we're referring to the power that individual has in their concentration. So it's an ability to concentrate, it's phenomenal, it's more than the average. All right, so that's looking at power as a capacity or an ability to do something or act in a particular way. Now, I stumbled on another set of definitions of power, and it's important that we look at this as well, because it's kindly in a negative direction to some degree, but I want you to understand what's going on here. The capacity or ability to direct or influence the behavior of others, okay, in the course of events. So the capacity to our ability to direct or influence the behavior of others in the course of an event. So let's take, for example, you went to a show and you're being allowed to come in through the stairs, the very narrow gate. So massive number of people out there. You have this control point where people are allowed to come in one at a time. Right, so there are people standing at the stiles, standing at the gates to usher in. Maybe you call him single file, you line up properly, you go in one at a time, you know, that kind of thing. So they've got authority, so that they've got power there by them standing there, vested by the authority given to them, okay, to ensure that there's a single flow of traffic into that event. You see that a lot of maybe like bouncers at a club, you see traffic wardens, okay, directing traffic. So these are examples of people utilizing some of power based on, you know, some authority that has been vested upon them. All right, so that serves like a kind of introduction, all right, into what power is. All right, and then we want to look at a couple of different things. We'll take a couple of different angles to this. So what then is biblical meaning of power? What will we understand as biblical meaning of power? Understanding true strength through love and service. That's a very powerful thing from the biblical standpoint. You're looking at power in terms of understanding what true strength is through love, okay, and service. Have you ever wondered what true power really means, you know, in a biblical sense, in a world where authority and strength often seem tied to wealth or status? So we know how we can get the interpretation, okay, from the worldview. It's easy to overlook the deeper significance of power as described in scripture. So basically, scripture seems to take a different slant. It's talking about understanding true strength through love and service. I remember the scripture we talked about last week, I think it's 2 Timothy 1:7 or so. Just check your scriptures, people. God has not given us a spirit of fear, okay, but of love, of power, and a sound mind. So you can see here, understanding true strength or true power, okay, through love, okay, and service to men. Now, it's important here, and I'll go into it much deeper later, while I was talking about a slight negative connotation. As Christian believers, spiritual people, we've been given, you know, the authority to have dominion, to rule and reign. But one of the things that is very important there in understanding dominion, and we hope we can go into some depth later in our study here, is that having been authorized to have dominion, okay, over situations, circumstances, does not allow human beings to exert that power and authority over other human beings. So this is comes very interesting, and we'll look at the technical reasons for that when we look deeper into the different types of power, authority, positive, negative, and what that really means. So you should be able to use your power and authority for positive, and some things are regarded as negative, okay, violation of your use of authority and power, and we see a lot of that in our world. So that's why when I said a few minutes ago, you know, about the definition, the capacity, ability to direct or influence the behavior of others, okay, in the course of events, it's something we really need to look into very early. So if you're like a traffic warden authorized to do that, that's okay. If you're the guard, security guard at bouncing outside the club, that's okay, to keep some law and order. But there's some other use of ability and power that becomes negative in terms of your influencing or directing, okay, the behaviors of people, that is considered, you know, negative. But we'll go into that in some detail. So I just wanted to, you know, basically have that background, that we have some understanding from a dictionary point of view, from a biblical biblical stance. Okay, now let's imagine facing a challenge that feels overwhelming. You might instinctively think of power as the ability to control or dominate. If you're having a challenge, if you're overwhelmed, okay, instinctively you would think that if I had the power, I'll be have the ability to control or to dominate. But what if the biblical perspective offers a different view? All right, so you can see where we're going in our discussion. You know, we need to explore the Bible defines power, emphasizing its connection to love, all right, its connection to service, okay, and humility. So these are very, very important attributes that the Bible emphasizes. Anyone that will exercise authority and power should also have, you know, the right posture, okay, love, okay, service and humility. So let's put it this way: if you're not having love, there's no element of service, and there's no humility, then you begin to question what type of authority and power is on display. And so by understanding this, you'll discover a more profound way to harness power in your life, leading to personal growth, okay, and stronger relationships. Okay, so leading to personal growth and stronger relationships. Okay, so that helps us a kind of introduction into our series from a definition standpoint, authority and power. And we're coming to authority and power in the name of Jesus. Now, we did say it's a very key central tenet in the Christian, you know, belief. So the Great Commission, Jesus declares in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, all authority in heaven and on earth are given to me. All right, we have that in Matthew 28 and verse 18, affirming his divine authority. I'll take that again: all authority in the realms of the heavens and on earth has been given to me. So when we're looking at the source of all authority, let's remember Jesus in that position. Now, prayers and miracles. Okay, again, we're just looking at power and authority from different parts of the Christian tenets, you know, and beliefs. Believers are empowered to act in Jesus' name through prayer, as seen in John chapter 14 and verses 13 to 14, where Jesus promises to fulfill their request. All right, so whatsoever things you ask of me, right, in my name I will do. So we find that there is delegated authority, and we have access to the power that Jesus has through the name of Jesus, okay, and by our relationship with him. It's very key that we understand that. All right, we'll be looking at it in more detail. Then let's look at the early church practices. The authority in Jesus' name was demonstrated through acts of healing and miracles, such as Peter healing, you know, the lame man in Acts chapter 3 and verse 6. Acts chapter 3 and verse 6. Okay, we'll look at that in more detail as well as we go on. Now, also obedience obedience and discipleship, living under Christ's authority involves obedience to his teachings and commands, reflecting a commitment to his will. I'll take that again. Living under Christ's authority involves obedience to his teachings and commands, reflecting a commitment to his will, or doing the Father's will. And we remember several times Jesus kept saying, my meat is to do the things of the one that sent me. My meat is to do the Father's will. All right. And so we as believers, believing in Jesus, accepting him as our Lord and Savior, we make a commitment to, you know, doing everything in our lives in accordance with his will. And we see that, you know, coming under obedience and discipleship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. So this concept underscores the profound power and authority believers have in their lives and actions as representatives, okay, with delegated authority and power of Christ. So we're representatives, okay, on this side of eternity of Jesus, right? So we have delegated authority and power. Now the question comes, I know we've been trying to do some definition, what does the Bible say about power and authority in the name of Jesus? So many Bible teachings regarding power and authority in the name of Jesus, you know, bring us to an understanding that there are profound and multifaceted dimensions to this topic, reflecting a central tenet of Christian faith. The name of Jesus is not merely a label or an identifier. It encompasses his divine nature, his redemptive work. Now you know why we went through the covenants. Okay, there's a redemptive plan, and it's talking about the redemptive works that Jesus carried out, okay, as the one that met the requirements of the Father, and his sovereign authority. Okay, I take that slowly. The name of Jesus is not merely a label, all right, or an identifier. It encompasses or encapsulates the divine very nature, okay, his redemptive work and his sovereign authority. So there is the nature, there's the redemptive work, and there is Jesus Christ's sovereign authority. And we as his, you know, children, we as believers, him as our Lord and Savior, we have delegated authority to exercise authority, to demonstrate power, and to rule, having dominion on this side of eternity through our relationship and our faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? So understanding this concept requires delving into various passages of Scripture, which we'll try and do in the course of our sessions, and examining the theological implications that have been expounded upon by Christian scholars throughout the ages. Okay, so we're going to have to do some proper study into what the scholars have said, what has been revealed to them, what has been documented, the Bible says, for our learning. Okay, so the New Testament is replicate with references to the power and authority vested in the name of Jesus. One of the most compelling passages is found, like I mentioned earlier, in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Okay, verses 13 to 14. And Jesus himself declares, "I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Right? You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Literally, that's what he's saying. Okay? This promise, okay, underscores the efficacy, the authority of invoking Jesus' name in prayer. Right? The phrase "in the name" signifies by more than a mere verbal formula. It implies a relationship with Jesus, an alignment with his will, and faith in his power. Very important things mentioned there. Okay, it signifies more than just a formula. It's not a formula. It implies a relationship with Jesus. Okay, alignment with his will and faith in his power. We'll take a break now, and we'll come back after the break and try and make some progress. We're looking at the authority and power in the name of Jesus, and we've just looked at some, you know, definitions from different perspectives. Catch you on the flip side of the break.
One thing I found, my God will work it out. Well, we jazzed it up a little bit, and so we're gonna do a little different.
Y'all ready?
He's gonna work it out. Yes, he will. Before I knew my name and before I drew a breath, oh,
he was making ways for me.
Now and every day and in each and every step, oh, like my faith is running out. I'm too far to turn around. I know that God will work it out. God will work it out. One thing I know, one thing I found. My God will work it out.
Come on,
work it out. Watch him while he works it out.
Work it out. Watch your money works it out.
Work it out. Watch your money works it out.
Work it out. Watch your money works it out.
I've been pushing past the fear. I've been fighting to believe. Oh,
he is making ways for me.
Yeah. And he won't let me down. No, he'll never ever leave. No.
He's still making ways for me.
He's still.
Working it out.
He's got like that.
He's working it out.
Working it out.
Good morning, welcome back. Lovely track there by Naomi Rain, Working It Out. Listen, God is in still control regardless of what may happen. All right, he's never late, he's always on time, he's fully in control. I pray that that encourages somebody out there. Yes, so we're looking at authority and power in the name of Jesus. We've tried to look at some definitions and we're moving on. Now I want to bring a very pivotal text that we'll be using in the course of our series here. And you know, we've been talking about, you know, the authority and power in the name of Jesus, and I remember talking about the biblical power definition. And I want us to know here that true power in the biblical sense emphasizes, compared to some of the definitions that we looked at, love, service and humility over, as opposed to, rather than, control and domination, promoting a deeper understanding of biblical authority. I just cannot overemphasize that. I'll take it again. The biblical standpoint of power, okay, from the biblical standpoint or sense, emphasizes love, service, right, and humility over, rather, instead of, control and domination, on promoting a deeper understanding of authority. It's so important that when we are studying the concept of power and authority, you know, as compared to the definitions we looked at the beginning of today's session, that we understand that there is a different perspective when it comes to authority and power from a biblical sense, and we must understand that. Right, so the key scripture I want to use and will be referring to subsequently to, you know, help us to come to an understanding of authority and power in the name of Jesus, you know, is Acts chapter 3, and I want to look at from verses 1 to 9 for today. But there's a lot in that scripture. So let's look at this story here. It says, one day Peter and John, this is Acts chapter 3, and I'm reading from verse 1. So one day Peter and John, two disciples, were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. Please note the time, at 3 p.m. Now a man who was lame from birth and was being carried out, okay? He was lame from birth, was being carried to the temple gates called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Look at what he asked them for, money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. So they both looked straight at him. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, all right, expecting to get something from them, as he had anticipated. Verse 6 says, then Peter said, silver and gold we do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Right? He jumped up right to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them, that's the disciples, into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, what does the Bible say? Right, so that's verses 1 to 9 thereabout. Okay, let me catch myself. Walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him. So they had passed him But now they recognize at the same man, that was the same man that sat begging at the temple gates, called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So that's Acts chapter 3. I've just read verses 1 to 10. Then later on, Peter goes to speak more to the onlookers to explain what's going on here. So that will form our key text for, you know, our session on authority and power for a number of reasons. Okay, so the early church understood and experienced the power dynamically. So that was something, this authority and power was something that the early church experienced. It was something that they were able to take delivery of. And we can see in this story, okay, that the apostles did take delivery of this great gift of God. Remember, we talked about the covenants, we talked about our relationship with Jesus Christ, and when we looked, their covenant rights, their promises, and there are certain things that beneficiaries of the covenant can take advantage of. And we said that authority and power is one of those covenant rights and benefits. So it was clear in the Acts of the Apostles, we see numerous instances where the name of Jesus was invoked with miraculous results, as we've just read in Acts chapter 3 verses 1 to 6, and recounts Peter's word to the lame man at the temple gate, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Now, before I go any further, something must be said here. You can never give what you don't have. So for them to have been able to demonstrate power on that level, they are definitely taking delivery of the authority and the power, and were in a position to delegate, to give it out, to demonstrate, to deploy that authority and power to bring about the healing, okay, that the man at the Beautiful Gate experienced. So when we are studying authority and power, we need to understand there are things we have been gifted with. We need to first know it's a gift. We need to first know how to be in a relationship that we can take delivery, download, as it were, that which is our covenant rights. We need to learn how to use it. We need to understand the power of it. We need to understand also how we can distribute, communicate, deploy, okay, that authority and power into diverse situations and circumstances. I did mention some time ago now, earlier sessions, about becoming, you know, a master of situation and circumstances. That means regardless of the situation or circumstances you find yourself in, because of your delegated authority and your access to power, you can deploy that authority and power into any circumstance and any situation, affecting, influencing that economy, that environment, that atmosphere positively for good. Remember the Christian posture in doing this: love, okay, service, and humility. All right, these attributes are clearly to be demonstrated by every believer as a true representative of Jesus Christ, having access by relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, as a son of God, as a child of God, and having an inheritance among the saints, as we have seen for those that are in a covenant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the important thing I want to highlight here about all of this, not only do you take delivery of these gifts, of these abilities, this authority and this power, but you must have been trained and developed, okay, to a point of growing into maturity, to be responsible and a good steward of that which has been committed into your hands. This is the sole responsibility of anybody that will want to come in contact with authority and power. For where the purpose of that authority or that power, like anything else, is not known, it's misunderstood, it's open, it's vulnerable, it's likely to be abused and misused. And so it's important to understand this right from the onset, so that when you see abuse of power, when you see that the attributes of love, of service and humility are not flowing with the power, then you need to check where is the source of that power. What type of power is that? And oftentimes, a lot of believers, not, you know, understanding this fundamental, yield themselves open to all manner of deception. Am I talking to anybody there? Okay, so we have to be knowledgeable. The Bible says we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. We are in a warfare. We've got an arch enemy, and his sole purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, if he has access to some form of power and is doing that, the question is that really of God? The Lord will open our eyes. The Lord will cause us to be discerning. The Lord will cause us to hear what the Spirit is saying to us now, and grant us hearts that understand, so that we can take delivery, we can be responsible, we can be good custodians, and we can walk in the authority and power that has been delegated to us as believers, so that in life, in every circumstance, in every situation, in every environment we find ourselves, any atmosphere where you are supposed to reign and rule, that you can show up as a Christ ambassador, a heavenly representative, an official law enforcement agent of the kingdom of God, to deploy power and authority to positive influence and to change whatever may be happening within that environment, that atmosphere, or that territory. May the Lord grant us understanding in Jesus' name. So the disciples made it clear, we don't have silver and gold, but what we have, okay, I do give you. And he used the name of Jesus Christ of you know, there are many people who have the name Jesus, right? So would that access to that name give you authority and power? I doubt it. There is only one name under heaven by which men can be saved, men can be delivered, men can be set free, the Bible says. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Okay? So that's the full length. When we talk about the name of Jesus, that's the exact precise personality to whom all power in heaven and on earth, as we saw earlier in our teaching, as you know, mentioned in Matthew, okay, Matthew 28 verse 18. All right, so he is the one to whom all power, all authority has been given, whether it's in heavens or on the earth. We'll be exploring more scriptures that emphasize the true source of power and authority, okay, the relationship that believers have with that. Now, the man was instantly healed, okay, demonstrating the tangible power in that name. So that's why this is our key scripture, because here is the use of it. Here is the disciples explaining that they had taken delivery. Obviously, they had the knowledge, the ability to release it. And the strength that was released in that caused this man, okay, to be healed. Now, the event not only authenticated the apostles' message, but also illustrated that the authority Jesus exercised during his earthly ministry continued through his followers. Lovely people, we need to understand, everyone who is a child of God, everyone who has come into this covenant relationship, the same covenant relationship that God has initiated right from the Old Testament, trying to communicate with his people to be able to explain to humanity his redemptive plan through Noah, through Abraham, through Moses, down to David, and eventually, you know, culminating, you know, in the life and the covenant relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, right? That was God's communication to mankind. As many as believed, the Bible says, he gave them power to become sons. And to these sons, he gave them power to exercise authority and dominion on this side of eternity, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Okay, so by virtue of you being a covenant child of God, by virtue of you being adopted into the family of God, by virtue of you being a beneficiary through that covenant relationship, we have faith in the finished works. We have faith that we have access to this divine covenant rights, like I mentioned, one of which or two of which is authority and power, amongst others. So as a Christian child of God, you must know your covenant rights. You must know your inheritance in Christ Jesus. You must know what has been given to you as a gift, as a benefit, and you must know how to take delivery, how to utilize it, when to utilize it, the purpose for which it is given. It's so important, so that you don't misuse or abuse the power and authority given to you. The Lord will grant you understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. Okay, so we're hoping in the course of our session that we would look, you know, more into more of these demonstrations through the disciples to get an understanding of authority and power in the name of Jesus. We said at the beginning, it's a central tenet, okay, of the Christian faith. It emphasizes the legitimacy granted to believers through their relationship with Jesus Christ. Please note what I just said. It's emphasizes legitimacy. Now, this is one of the technical terms you'll understand. That means children that are, you know, believers in Jesus Christ, children that are in this covenant relationship, have a legal right. Hello? Legal right to use that name, to use that authority, and to, you know, draw down the power from source for the purposes of the kingdom. It's a legal right, and anybody trying to do it illegally, they will not be able to access it. We'll look maybe in our next series at the sons of Sceva as a classic example. They saw the disciples, they copied. In fact, you imagine taking notes, they recited everything, they did, and they have no relationship with Jesus. Then they came to the demons to try to exercise authority and dominion, and the demons asked them, Jesus, we know, Paul, we understand, chairman, my dear brother, who are you? No identity, no relationship. You are trying to use authority against demonic spirits. It's illegal. Without covenant rights, without using the right channels, and without the right relationship. All right, so we'll look at that scripture in more detail. But I hope today has really helped us in understanding some of the key points. You know, we looked at the Great Commission, declares all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This is what Jesus affirmed, okay, his divine authority. We have that in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. We looked at prayer and miracles. Believers are empowered to act in the name through prayer. We've seen this in John chapter 14, verse 13 to 14. John chapter 14, verse 13 to 14. And then we looked at the example, okay, in Acts chapter 3, where there was an actual demonstration that has formed our key text for today. And we talked about obedience and discipleship. Okay, so living under Christ's authority, you are living under his authority, involves your obedience to his teachings and your commandments. Jesus said severally, if you love me, all right, if you love me, How do you prove that? Obey my commandments. You know, so we see that obedience to his commandments is demonstration of our love for God. So we've got this love, like I said earlier, we've got humility, and we've got service to men. Feed my sheep, that is service to men. Be a blessing to others, that is service to men. You understand? Teach them these things. He says one thing he knew about Abraham, he would teach these things to his children and his children's children. So lovely people, that has been in summary our session today. I hope it's been a blessing. We will come back same time, same channel next week and look at pressing further in our understanding of authority and power in the name of Jesus. Father, we just want to thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you because our confidence, like Jesus said, is that every time we call upon you, every time we invoke the name of Jesus, every time we beckon to you for assistance, for backup, we know that you are a covenant keeping God, that you keep your covenant promises from one generation to another. Studies written, documented for our learning have demonstrated this. And so we thank you for today, because at the beginning we asked for your presence. We thank you whenever we call upon you, you are still the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Thank you once again for today's session. I pray, Lord, that it's been a blessing to all our listeners. Till we meet again same time on the same channel. Lovely people, take good care of yourself. Enjoy your Sunday. Bye for now.
Song of ages to the Lamb, and all who've gone before us, and all who will believe, will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands. Right.
every weapon formed against me ends here. Every curse against my family ends here. I speak in the name of the Lord. Every cycle of addiction ends here. Every voice of condemnation, it ends here. I speak in the name of the Lord. I speak in the name of the Lord. I'm taking back what the enemy stole from me. In the name of Jesus, I'm breaking off.